Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the American Pastors Network. This week, we'll hear a special message from one of the thousands of church leaders applying biblical truth to today's toughest issues. The mission of the American Pastors Network is to identify, encourage, equip, and connect pastors and church members across the nation to stand in the gap for truth. From a culture of pornography and sexual permissiveness to abortion and the deterioration of the traditional family, the pastors we feature take seriously the command to be salt and light in the culture. Find out if your state has a chapter of the American Pastors Network. Go online to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net/statechapters. Enlist today in the battle for truth. And now, here's American Pastors Network President Sam Rohr to introduce today's message.
Well, thanks, Carl. And welcome back to the program, Stand in the Gap Weekend. We're so glad that you've joined us today, as we'll be now listening to part two of a message entitled, To Love God is to Resist Evil, a Serious Call for Humble Courage. If you missed last week's program, you'll want to visit our archives to hear part one of this outstanding message by Pastor Mike Anthony, Senior Pastor of the Grace Fellowship Church in York, Pennsylvania. You can access our archives by visiting our website at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You'll find this message and others under the tab entitled Weekend Program. During part one of Pastor Anthony's message last week, he addressed the outrageous directive issued by President Obama on May 13th, requiring all public schools to accommodate transgender students with the bathroom, locker room, or shower of their choice, or face loss of federal funding should they refuse to do so. He built the case for this immoral and illegal action on the part of the Obama administration and admonished his listeners that now is the time to take action. But what action should we take? In Acts chapter 5, the disciples were faced with a directive to stop speaking and teaching in Jesus' name. And their response was, we ought to obey God rather than man. And Pastor, Christian leader and believer, you and I must follow in the footsteps of these brave men who fearlessly refused to do what evil men were asking them to do. Let's listen now to part two of this inspiring message entitled, To Fear God is to Resist Evil, a Serious Call for Humble Courage by Pastor Michael Anthony.
There are three problems or three categories of problems with what the president did, and I'd like to present those right now. The first one is the constitutional, legal, authoritarian control and freedom problem. And this involves the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which reads, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That is the law of the land. And so the president, regardless of his passion, regardless of his opinion, does not have the right or the authority or the power to overreach as he is pushing the envelope of overreaching and violate the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution. He does not have the right to tell the states that you must comply in every one of your public schools to what I want to decree. And so the president has put himself at odds with the Constitution of the United States of America. This is a legal, authoritarian control, constitutional issue. And you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, should care about whether or not the laws of the land are followed. That's what it means to be a Christian citizen. Some might incorrectly cite Romans chapter 13. I anticipated what some would do. That we're to submit to governing authorities no matter what. However, we must remember that resistance to evil is obedience to God. Resistance to evil and lawlessness is obedience to God. Here's Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, quote, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves, end quote. Let's not take Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 out of context. Listen, by issuing his unconstitutional directive, the president is actually putting himself above the law. He's ignoring the governing authorities that wrote the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which he is obligated by oath and elected by the people to uphold. That's why you were put into office. When you put your hand on the Bible, you swore to uphold and to defend, not to undermine, the Constitution of the United States. And Mr. President, with all due respect, you have put yourself at odds with the law of the land as written in the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution. And we Christians who are law-abiding need to hold you accountable. We the people are holding you accountable with respect and love and concern for our nation. This nation is bigger than you. The Constitution is more important than you. And we will not tolerate it. I mean, come on now. Enough is enough. Mr. President, I love you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Many people gave their lives to uphold the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution and the freedoms that you swore to uphold and protect. Uphold them, protect them, and stop undermining them. That's what you need to do. When we have people in government, even the President of the United States, who are violating the law of the land, Christians have a choice to make. Do they follow the leader or follow the laws that the leader is violating? Do we follow the leader who's gone rogue or the laws that the leader is violating? The answer should be clear. We're to follow the laws and to hold the leader accountable. In this case, the president is acting against the clearly written law of the land and using the threat of lawsuits and the loss of financial aid to coerce public school officials to comply with his illegal, unconstitutional overreach. A large part of what it means to be a Christian is to care about right and wrong, good and evil, and to stand for what is right when someone is behaving in an illegal, immoral, authoritarian way, as the President of the United States actually is. Aristotle, the famous philosopher, said, "It's not always the same thing to be a good man and a good citizen." Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "If a law is unjust, a man is not only right to disobey it, he is also obligated to do so," end quote. If that's what Jefferson said about a law, what would he say about a leader who's disobeying the law? Martin Luther King Jr. said, quote, "One has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws," end quote. I wonder what Martin Luther King Jr. would say in this particular day. And there's the powerful statement attributed to the Irish politician and statesman Edmund Burke, who lived in the 1700s. He said, quote, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." The Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Dan Forrest, said this. This is, quote, "North Carolina will not stand by and let our locker rooms and high school showers be used for social experimentation at the expense of the privacy and protection of our young boys and girls. I do not think it is appropriate for teenage boys and girls to share the same bathroom," and many of us agree with you. Don't you think so? I don't think it's appropriate for teenage boys and girls to shower next to each other. I don't think it's appropriate for male coaches and male teachers to have access to girls' locker rooms and showers while the young girls are naked and exposed. I feel confident the vast majority of North Carolina parents feel the same. How about people in Pennsylvania? Do we agree? Dan Forrest continues, the president needs a reminder that the United States Constitution grants education decision authority to the states and localities, not the president of the United States. Our current state policy protects our children by maintaining bathrooms and restrooms consistent with the biological sex of the child and already gives schools should special circumstances arise. See, I want somebody to tell you that the provision is not already there. The freedom to grant private single stall, single shower bathroom accommodations to individuals who might not otherwise be comfortable using the bathroom of their biological sex or a bathroom shared with other people. This is the only reasonable response to the situation that exists today. Opening all showers and all restrooms to all sexes at all times, as the president is suggesting, says Dan Forrest, is not a reasonable solution, but an invitation for violations of privacy and personal safety. He continued by saying, North Carolina public schools, in receipt of the president's letter, are reminded that there is a binding state law on the books governing bathroom policy, and the president's non-binding directive is merely his attempt to push his version of a social policy on our state with no constitutional authority to do so. It should be rejected as a matter of principle and policy. That's courage. That's abiding by the law of the land. That's what it means to stand up in the face of tyranny and an authoritarian overreach. I, along with many other people across this nation, firmly believe that we are now facing, these are my words, I, along with many other people across this nation, firmly believe that we are now facing a we must obey God rather than man moment in the United States of America. And it's time for the president to be held accountable to his actions. If not you and me, then who? If not those of us who care about the law of the land, when those who are supposed to be caring about the law of the land obviously no longer care, then who's going to take care of this? The other issue or area of problems that the president has forayed into, this is a theological, moral, ethical problem masquerading as a political, legislative issue. The president is attempting to present a moral wrong as if it were a civil right. Sex and sexuality are determined by God, not man, and certainly not the government. There is not one instance in all of the Bible of an individual having the right or the capacity to self-identify where God has already identified them chromosomally and anatomically. Not one instance. Reverend Bill Owens of the Coalition of African American Pastors released a statement yesterday, and here's what it says. The far left is mining the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all African American pastors who participated in the struggle for civil rights, and all African Americans who participated in the struggle for civil rights, as Reverend Bill Owens did. I've met him. They're trying to defend a few people with bathroom issues. He went on to say, there is simply no relation between the struggles that Black Americans have faced and the desire of a tiny minority group to violate the dignity and privacy of women and girls. To suggest some sort of equivalence is a gross insult to all of those who marched with Dr. King, and he did, and faced fire hoses and hatred in the name of equality. Black pastors will not allow the homosexual and transgender community to rob Black Americans of their battle for civil rights. If the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. were alive to see this today, he would be angered in the same way that Jesus was angered when he turned over the tables of the money changers. Amen. End quote. Thank you, Bill Owens. He referred to attempts by the Obama administration to make the LGBT political and social engineering agendas the equivalent of civil rights, a, quote, theft and outrageous extortion and usurpation of the civil rights movement, end quote. And then he went on to say, we call all black Americans to stand up and fight for the sanctity of Martin Luther King's accomplishments and legacy for our race. There is simply no correlation between the struggles that black Americans have faced and the desire of a tiny minority group to violate the dignity and privacy of women and girls, end quote. Thank you. And then finally, he went on to say, transgendered persons are not asking for equal rights. They are asking for special rights that violate the privacy of women and simple common sense. The Coalition of African American Pastors calls on all those who oppose this unwarranted expansion of the Civil Rights Act to contact their representatives in Congress today and let them know how you feel about this bill, end quote. Well said. And I would add to this, the president is actually now bullying God. That's what he's doing. He's bullying God. And if he's that audacious to bully God, he's certainly going to bully those who want to follow him. When we consider what the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation about sex and sexuality, we can firmly conclude that to resist evil is to love and obey God. Genesis 1, 27 through 31 says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Now listen carefully. Malachi chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. The Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. See, this is really what it comes down to. You and I could raise polite children, but it's not the same as raising godly children. And this is what God wants you, if you're a parent or guardian, what he wants me to do in the raising of our children, to raise godly offspring. And when somebody is trying to redefine sex and sexuality, they are hindering you and me from giving God Almighty what he says he wants in godly offspring. You should be concerned about that. You should absolutely care about that. The role of child rearing is given in the Bible to parents and guardians first and foremost, not the government. The bathroom, locker room, shower directive of the President of the United States puts him in direct opposition with God's directives. It forces you to expose your children at a very impressionable age to things they do not even need to face until an appropriate age and means chosen by parents and guardians. It's not up to the government to teach your children. Nowhere in the Bible is child rearing the role of the government. That is clearly given to parents and to guardians. Now, if you're a Christ follower, you must remember that God has not called you to simply raise polite children. He's called you to raise godly children, godly offspring. And many of us need to repent for missing that important distinction, that important calling from Almighty God. No one can take your place as a parent or guardian in that key, vital, God-ordained role of raising up godly offspring. And what does it mean to raise up godly offspring if you're going to ignore the rule book, the playbook, the Bible in the process? Here's what others are saying. Thanks to Todd Starnes. Todd Starnes provided some of this information. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said, quote, Obama is turning bathrooms into courtroom issues. Our country is in crisis and Texas must lead the way forward, end quote. Amen, Governor Abbott. Tennessee Congresswoman Diane Black said, quote, I believe the Obama administration is now directly responsible for endangering our students. It's worth noting that this directive does not carry the force of the law. and I would encourage Tennessee school officials to continue following their consciences," end quote. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins said, "If the president chooses to go forward with this outrageous order, then Congress should begin impeachment proceedings." Thank you, Tony, especially as you can hear the response, for your courage. Perkins said that the decree should be, quote, "resisted with every legal and moral instrument we have available to us in this country," end quote. Every parent, every school board in America should absolutely refuse to sacrifice the safety of their children for the threat of taking away 9 federal pennies that make up every educational dollar. Wow. Penny Young Nance, president of Concerned Women for America, said this, "The left always uses children to accomplish its goals of social reengineering. The adults closest to these children should decide what's best for all the children in the school. Safety and kindness should be the guiding principles, not threats from the bullies in Washington." Well said. And I would say again that I do believe that we are now facing a "we must obey God rather than man" moment in the United States of America. This is not only a theological issue, by the way, that only Christians can address. Please understand this. There are many atheists and agnostics and moralists who also believe in the common sense stupidity of this move by the President of the United States of America. And I mean stupidity not in an irreverential way. I mean it in the classic dictionary definition of stupidity. It lacks common sense. And now I want to talk for a moment about the common sense problem that this is. You don't have to be a person of faith to understand the common sense argument. So let's not make the mistake of thinking that this is only for Christians to fight, that this is only for people of faith to fight this battle. You can be an atheist and an agnostic and simply a moral person from any religion in the world or from no religion any place, and you can still understand the common sense buffoonery of this directive. Public school bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers are places that are the most private of all places where a student can go. They are designed for privacy, modesty, and decency. Children empty their bowels and bladders in bathrooms. They disrobe in locker rooms and wash their bodies in showers. And they want and need to do that in the strictest of privacy without having any further complications upon their young, impressionable lives as a child. Children already deal with enough embarrassment about their own body shapes and features. For that matter, adults do. Can I get an amen for that? The least we can do is ensure the dignity, privacy, and security of such a situation, not exasperated exponentially by what should be obvious to everybody. If this is not the most common sense of all, then I don't know what is. What in the world has happened to us that there is now nothing at all common about common sense? The real reason why the president and the radical minority within the LGBTQ community are targeting children and parents is because they know that the most impressionable time of a person's life is their childhood. Let's call it what it is. And this should deeply concern every single parent and guardian who has been given the mandate by God to raise their own children. This mandate is dastardly and diabolical and devilish at its very core. That's why they're going after the children. That's why this is happening. Tolerance and compassion are not measured by the litmus test that the extreme few have developed on whether or not we will let transgender children into a restroom of their choice. No one is keeping anyone from using a bathroom, changing their clothes, or showering. Nobody's keeping anybody from using a bathroom, a restroom, or showering. All we're saying is that bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers for students in public schools should be used with distinction based upon the physical anatomy of the child, so that the rest of the absolutely overwhelming majority of students don't have to deal with more junk than they already have to deal with as children, adolescents, and teens. Come on now. Is that so hard to grasp? What we're facing in the United States of America is that we must obey God rather than man moment. There was a day when Christians did not cower in the face of an overreaching leader. And that day needs to return, because to resist evil is what it means to follow God. In Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 29, look with me at what the Word of God says. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, the believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison, so they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We have strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man." That's what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it looks like to have humble courage, that no matter who says, "You must obey me," if that directive goes against the teachings of God's word, you must obey God rather than man. Think about it someday. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment of God, that same Jesus. And you're going to give an account, I'm going to give an account of whether or not you obeyed God, whether or not I obeyed God rather than man. You can choose to be afraid of people now, but that day before the Almighty God, the only opinion that really matters is really coming. Now's the time to be more concerned about the opinion of God than the opinion of people, whose opinions, eternally speaking, really don't matter. Now, how did we get here? How did we get to this time in our nation, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the country that has the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution that's being so grossly trampled upon? Number one, movies, television, and culture is preoccupied with sex outside of marriage, sexual perversion, and a preoccupation with sex, 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 and more sex. Pornography is an overwhelming issue today, and I'm not speaking about pornography and the preoccupation with sex in the world. I'm talking about within the church. Many of you, many people in the body of Christ watch things, listen to things, tolerate things, look for things that if we were to show them today on the screen, you would be embarrassed. Showing them in public would not change the private reality of what's happening. But we live in a culture that is heavily sexualized. It wants you to think that your life and my life and everyone's life should revolve around sex when it should revolve around the living and true God. Number two, we have a president who is a constitutional attorney. Who is intentionally seeking to test the barriers of his influence. That's a reason why we got here. Number three, we've forgotten what the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights teach, and what it means to be the United States of America. And so I encourage every single Christ-following individual, every single moralist, every single atheist, every single agnostic who loves the United States of America to this week begin to reread the Constitution of the United States of America, to read the Bill of Rights, and to read the Declaration of Independence. Remember, this country was founded to counter the tyranny of a king who overreached and wanted to bring people into subjugation underneath his own tyrannical, unethical, immoral leadership. Fourth, one of the reasons why we've got here is because churches, pastors, and Christians were far too fixated on teaching the Word of God instead of letting the Word of God transform our lives. We focused on information when we should have been focusing all along on the application. We focused on building programs and the color of our carpets when we should have focused on compassion, building up people's lives, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the chickens have come home to roost. Fifth, one of the reasons why we're here is because church leadership is often divided and distracted by irrelevant, insignificant things rather than keeping the main thing the main thing. The spirit of control is often more prevalent in churches than the Holy Spirit. It's ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, if you're a pastor, if you're an elder, if you're a deacon, whether it's in this church or any other church, and that's been the case, all of us need to repent. We've let secondary things become the main thing. We think that simply teaching the Bible is going to bring about change in people's lives. In a very real way, many of us are guilty of trying to get other people to follow a Jesus we don't follow and we don't love ourselves. It's classically hypocritical. I mean, it's really serious. It's really, really, really serious. And if ever we needed to repent, that time is now. Finally, we have busy family lives and we've farmed out gospel-centered living and put the American dream ahead of God's vision and mission for our lives and for our families. No wonder why our country has lost its way. In other words, we have idols in our own lives and in our own families and in our own churches that we've put before Almighty God. That's the truth. And we need to repent. What are the consequences of this? Well, first of all, I want to make it publicly known that I now identify as an 18-year-old Native American. That's how I now self-identify. And I'm going back to college. And I'm going to be looking for federal funding, a scholarship, as a minority in the United States of America who's going to school for the first time. Even though I went to three different schools and graduated from each one, I want to self-identify as somebody who's doing it for the first time. And so, Mr. President, I would like some of that federal funding that you dole out to Native Americans for college for the first time. But not only that, why should I stop there? I also want to start a business as a minority in the United States of America. And I'd like some federal funding for the federal funds that are out there for minority-owned and operated businesses. Why can't I? I mean, if I want to identify as a Native American, who are you to tell me that I'm not? Because it's not in my DNA? Ah. By the same reasoning and logic of the president, I cannot be, quote unquote, discriminated against if this is how I now self-identify. I strongly encourage you 2, to go back to college for the first time. I encourage you to identify with whatever racial minority you want to identify with. I encourage you to start a business as a minority, even though you might look like white bread. Go for it. And use the same ridiculous, unbelievable, insane common sense that the President of the United States is using. Another consequence, the President is attempting to treat a moral wrong as if it were a civil right. If he succeeds in twisting the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and special rights are seen as civil rights, there will be no end to the tyrannical overreach and using of political correctness to control, manipulate, and achieve any objective desirable. Simply teaching what the Bible says about sex and sexuality will be labeled as hate speech, as it already is, and intolerant and a violation of someone's civil rights. This will not stop with the public school system, everybody. It's not going to stop with the public school system. The public school system's only the beginning. Another consequence, it's really leading us to the withdrawal of God's blessing and protection. We are headed, if this does not get turned around, we are headed, if the church does not speak out against this and stand up against this, when we are the ones who are supposed to have God's prophetic voice, given the word of God to be salt and light, if we don't speak up, if we don't en masse begin to voice our disapproval and begin to get our lives individually and in families and in churches in alignment with Jesus, if we don't begin to walk in humble courage, we're headed for more moral depravity, more of a leadership vacuum, more financial difficulty, the potential of natural disasters, and military conflict, because every single one of them are at God's disposal when His people do not repent and seek Him wholeheartedly. This is very serious for us within the body of Christ. It's very serious for us within the body of Christ. Another consequence is that we're either going to repent and see revival, or we're going to relinquish our role as salt and light and see ruin. You understand how significant that is? See, what needs to happen in our repentance, and this is, I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself because God is speaking to us. You need to be compassionate, humble, and courageous. You need to really care about people who struggle. You need to really care about people who struggle. You need to speak the truth in love. You need to live the truth in love. We have done an absolutely terrible job, especially in the evangelical community, of having genuine compassion for people who struggle, people who are looking for answers. They need to be loved into the kingdom of God, and every single one of us needs to repent. We're at a very significant, tyrannical time in the United States of America. This is just the beginning. This is a time where we must obey God rather than man. We must be willing to face the consequences no matter what they may be. And I'm going to suggest the time for massive, peaceful, humble, courageous, civil disobedience throughout this country while we still have a country worth fighting for. Public schools should not comply with the overreaching presidential decree. I'll be writing about this more in my blog, of course, talking about it on the radio, and you should be examining your own life to do all that you can to oppose the overreaching decree of the president. The Bible is filled with examples of men and women who resisted tyranny and evil because they understood that to do so was to obey and love God. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? Peter and the apostles, and on and on and on it goes. The Bible is not a book of exceptions. It's a book of examples of how we live lives of humble courage. And that's what we need today, brothers and sisters. That's what we need if you're not a brother and sister. We need humble courage to do what is right at this dark time in our nation's history. Another thing that we need to do in response is we need to stop using the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ as the unintended escape clause for being salt and light here and now. Jesus might come back tomorrow. He might not come back for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. We know what happens at midnight. We should start being concerned about what happens at 11 o'clock because that's the time that we're in right now. Parents and guardians, we need to rediscover our God-given responsibility to disciple our own children. We need to stop farming that out even to the church. Stop farming it out to the government. If God gives you children, God has given you the responsibility to raise godly offspring and to be the primary disciple maker in the life of your child. That needs to happen, and many of us need to repent. Many of us need to repent for not doing that. Another thing you can do is write your senator and representatives this week. Do it this week. Tell them if you feel that the president is wrong and has overreached his constitutional authority. Tell them how you feel about his move to change how public school bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers is incorrect and inappropriate. Tell them. Write letters. Make phone calls. Write your local public school board, your superintendent, and the principal, and do the same thing. Stand up for your children and for children in public schools in your area. Do this here in Pennsylvania. Do it if you're listening around the nation. Do it. And here's a suggestion. Boycott companies whose decisions to change the use of a men's room or a woman's room violates what the Bible teaches about sex and sexuality. Don't go to that store anymore. If Christians around this nation were to do that consistently, if we were to hit people in the purse, hit people in the pocketbook, they would stand up and take notice. And yes, it's going to create some discomfort in our own lives because it's not necessarily as convenient, but that's the problem. We worship comfort and convenience more than we're concerned about the living and true God. Don't go to companies, don't go to stores whose views of sex and sexuality violate what the Bible clearly teaches. And when they are hit in the purse, in the pocketbook, by this overwhelming, massive majority of us who have common sense, who understand in the constitutional overreach of the president, who understand that this is not a political issue, but a theological, moral, ethical issue, then maybe they will start changing their behavior and accommodating what we know to be is right and true. Start getting serious about this Jesus stuff we keep talking about again and again every Sunday. Start getting serious about this Jesus stuff. Let's start getting serious about transformation and application. It's not about how much Bible we can cram into our heads. It's about how much Bible can come out of our lives. This Jesus stuff that we've all been hearing for so many years, this Bible stuff that we've all been hearing for so many years, it's real, it's true. Jesus is alive. Why are we walking around with our heads between our legs? Why are we cowering when we should be courageous? Why are we not putting into practice the things that we want everyone else to practice? When they saw the boldness of Peter and the apostles, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. If the world saw that we were really with Jesus, really walking with Jesus, really surrendered to Jesus, really serious about this Jesus stuff, maybe we wouldn't even be in this mess in the first place. Yeah. And the same thing that very potentially, very truly, would have prevented us from being in this mess in the first place is the very same thing that might and will get us out of it as we move forward. Listen, we're at a time in this nation. We are at a we must obey God rather than man moment in the United States of America. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you don't let your view be known, if I don't let my view be known, if we don't begin to respond with humble courage, then no one in this dark time in our nation's history is going to do it. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing.
You're listening to the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Weekend. We'll be right back. The American Pastors Network now offers a weekly APN email update, including compelling stories about the impact that APN pastors are having on our country and its culture. With the latest news and upcoming events, you'll know how to connect with the APN and pursue your own mission of changing the culture through decisive action. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and subscribe to the weekly APN email update today. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. We'd love to keep in touch. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net now offers the largest collection of biblical worldview resources on issues like abortion, the battle for marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and so many other topics. The resource library is free and designed for pastors and other concerned Christians to understand the issues and apply biblical truth to the big issues facing our culture. Go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network with another Stand in the Gap Minute. Some time ago, I interviewed a candidate for a leading public office and asked him a direct question. How would you define truth? He had no answer. I then asked, how then would you make your decisions in office and be confident you're right? He said, I guess I'll follow my gut. Unfortunately, this describes the attitude of most in office and why our nation's leaders seem so confused and rudderless. Yet the truth of God's word can bring clarity to confusion and direction to the lost, whether in office or in the home. Truth is not emotions. It is not subjective. To define truth is great. To live it is essential. Do you know the truth, Jesus Christ, who is the way and truth, and live like it? The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping people to impact the culture for Christ. Father's Day is a great time to consider God's role as father. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network with another timely Stand in the Gap Minute. As a father of six and grandfather of 12, I've thought much about my role, and this I've learned. The more we men emulate God, the Heavenly Father, the better the husband and father will be. As our fatherhood model, God is our wise Father, the great counselor and comforter. He's just, kind, merciful, and patient. He instructs and guides, protects and shields. He firmly disciplines, but loves unconditionally. He loves so much he gave his Son, the perfect sacrifice to save our souls. He's the humble servant, yet the greatest leader. He's the model in every way of what earthly fathers should be. Men, how much do you resemble God the Father? Remember, you are the picture of God to your wife and children. The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping people to impact the culture for Christ. Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net to find out how you can help.
You're listening to the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Weekend. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Walk through the resource library there. You'll find the largest collection of biblical worldview resources on topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free, designed for pastors and Christians to easily find relevant, useful materials that connect issues to the biblical truth on a full range of cultural issues. Again, the website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now let's rejoin the broadcast for the conclusion of this week's American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Weekend.
We want to thank you for joining us today. If you want to hear this entire sermon by Pastor Mike Anthony or to order a copy of this message on CD, please visit the Stand in the Gap Weekend archives on our radio website at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com, and you'll find it there under the Weekend Program tab. If you're a pastor or church leader and want to speak out on the issue of transgender identity but don't know where to start, We invite you to take advantage of some of the resources that we're offering to help you understand this critical issue. On our radio website, I mentioned earlier, standinthegapradio.com, you'll see a banner entitled Understanding the Transgender Debate, a Resource Toolkit. And if you click on the banner there, you'll be taken to a page on the American Pastors Network main website featuring a variety of resources. This toolkit contains sample letters to legislators, to school board members, and newspaper editors. You'll also find a very, very valuable white paper published by the American Pastors Network explaining the biblical view on transgender identity, and you'll find a downloadable bulletin insert that you can use to inform your congregation about how they too can get involved. This is simply not a time for silence. The world is watching to see how Christians will respond, and if they will respond, to pressure and even coercion to bow before this liberal anti-God agenda. We here at the American Pastors Network stand ready to help you understand and to engage on this issue and others with the powerful truths from God's Word. As we proceed into another year of encouraging and equipping not only pastors but the Christian remnant across our nation to stand in the gap for truth, you who listen to this program play a critical role this year, and we need your help. We believe that unless the pastors of America step up and fulfill their calling to preach the whole counsel of God to their people, America will become just a byword and an embarrassment to the nations, as God told Israel of old. We believe that pastors have a duty and an obligation before God that is unique. You are needed to stand by your pastor who preaches the whole counsel of God and to stand in the gap for truth where you are, in the home, in the workplace, and in your own church. Now, you can help us in our critical mission in several ways. First, you can encourage your pastor to preach boldly. I encourage you to do that because he needs your encouragement. If he hasn't heard about the American Pastors Network, would you share today's message with him and point him to our resources located on our website? But you can also come alongside the American Pastors Network as a prayer partner. But you can also become a monthly financial partner. And we truly wish that you would become all three. To become part of our prayer team or to become a financial partner, go to our website at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and sign up there to receive our regular emails. And send us a note that you'd like to become a part of our growing national intercessory prayer team as we pray not only for our nation, but specifically for our pastors. And while you're at our website, could I ask you then to go to the donate section where you'll find out how you can help us in our critical mission to help the pulpits of America to once again boldly preach the whole counsel of God. While there are many places that plead for your financial help, I ask that you prayerfully consider coming alongside the American Pastors Network. There is simply no more important place, we believe, that help and prayer is needed right now more than ever than to light a fire of revival under our pulpits. Now, if you'd prefer to write to us instead, please send your card or letter to Stand in the Gap Weekend, 83 West Main Street, Suite 3, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. Stand in the Gap Radio is a production and ministry of the American Pastors Network. We want you to invite you to visit our new site, specifically designed to feature not only this weekend program, Stand in the Gap Weekend, but also our one-minute commentary, Stand in the Gap Minute, and our daily program called Stand in the Gap Today. The address for this site, again, is standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. The American Pastors Network exists to help pastors and Christians across America to stand in the gap for truth. Will you this week stand in the gap with us for truth? Please join us again next week at the same time for another Stand in the Gap Weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Our purpose is to establish a network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture, boldly preaching the whole counsel of God, applying a biblical worldview to public policy, and encouraging their congregations to speak and live truth wherever they are. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you. To learn more about how you can support the mission, visit online at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Find out how and where you can stand in the gap for truth. The American Pastors Network is a ministry program affiliate of Capstone Legal Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit Christian public community foundation registered nationwide.